Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I'm, of course, the one, the only, the brilliant Mark Unger.
That boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball.
Joining me, as always, is the lovely, the charming Diane Brierley.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
It's me.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
Engineering the show as always, twisting buttons, pushing knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of the show. The very talented, the brilliant, but eerily creepy, Timothy Robert Ray! Extraordinaire! Engineer extraordinaire!
Papa to be!
That's right, he's gonna be a papa now.
Of a boy.
That's right, gonna be
a
little boy.
I thought it's gonna be a boy. It's awesome.
As good as your life will never be the same again. Never be the same again. Anyway, this is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. The rule goes like this. You get to be totally anonymous. We get to be brutally honest. If you're very sensitive, do not email us because we can be very brutal at times. Just keep in mind, we don't know who you are. Our favorite, any kind of questions, you know, about marriage, this, that, and the other, relationships, dating, our favorite arguments that couples have over one dumb thing or another. If you have a continuing crazy argument that you have with your spouse and you're not able to come to a conclusion, say, let's email Mark Unger. Let us hear her side, your side, and then we will rule one way or the other, whether or not they'll abide by our ruling, highly questionable, but...
I have
we'll
a few of those, but we're saving those for the live day
so that people can call in. So it'll be fun. It'll be great.
So we'll get to it on the live day.
Those are good. So send us those. We love those. All right. That's all I got to say. How you doing this fine day?
I'm okay.
This fine day.
She's just still okay. I think she is really...
She's still healing from missing
Clay Matthews
the other day at the restaurant.
By a matter of
seconds. As soon as we walk out, Clay walks in. We don't see it till the next day on the news.
I think it's the most amazing thing.
Ross is reveling in it.
Well, all right, so now check it out. So we end yesterday's show.
Yes.
With an email.
Yep.
A Chinese woman.
A Chinese-Canadian
Chinese-Canadian.
Married 20 years to a Canadian Czech.
Canadian Czech.
Whose in-laws.
It's whose parents, so it's her in-laws.
Yeah,
okay,
her in-laws.
So summarize real quick. Bring us up to date.
Yes.
We got to put on the in-law music back again.
Okay, so the husband grew up really poor. They're extremely frugal. Like, the mother-in-law only gives them boxes of cold cereal, and the father-in-law takes a bath once a week and saves the water for
cold
her.
Cold cereal for dinner, mind you.
Yes. She didn't know them very much. She didn't realize this is what she was marrying into.
Not only does the grandpa or the dad take a bath once a week, he'll save the water so the wife can hop in and she can make so they don't waste water.
Sure.
I mean, that's seriously frugal.
That's seriously
frugal. Now, we were
frugal.
Laughing after the show, yesterday's show, because when we grew up,
yes,
that's what we all did.
Mark and I are old enough that that's what we experienced.
You didn't change the bath when your brother got in next, and then you waited until your next brother got in. And just, you know, people were just different back in the day.
Yes.
You know, people didn't take baths every day or showers every day. Until, my guess, more like the 1970s that started kicking in. I mean, it's relatively a new concept.
Yep.
In fact, a lot of people, this would be kind of funny, but a lot of people have skin problems because
they do shower.
Because they shower too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
And people who are older do not. I mean, you know, if you get my age in 50s, 60s, especially 60, 70, 80-year-olds, they don't because that's not what they grew up doing.
Yeah. I do, I must admit, despite how
I was
raised.
Yeah, I pretty much do.
But But yeah, that was very, very common. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so they're still like this.
Mm-hmm.
He bathes once a week. She's upset about it. They're tighter than all get out, sharing bath water and eating cold cereal for dinner because they're just tight as can be.
Yes.
So she's going nuts.
Yes. And all now the big problem with this, besides that they're tight wad freeloaders, my problem is the chronic surprise visits from my husband's family. Despite my polite request to call or email us before coming, the in-laws continue to show up without notice.
Moochard!
When I call and ask when they are coming, they tell me,
don't. That's why Ross lives on the other side of town.
Yes.
Otherwise, I would do that. I say, I wanted him to move right next door.
Like Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes, just like that. Mm-hmm. I want Everyone Loves Raymond, so I could just walk in when he's walking around in his skivvies. Hey, Ross, what's happening, baby?
You still wouldn't do it.
I would. I would. I would love it.
That would be funny.
But I'm not going to drive all the side of town to do it. All right.
So anyway, when she calls and asks them if they're coming, they say, don't worry, we're not coming. When they arrive at our doorstep, they tell us, well, we changed our plans. My mother-in-law continues to ignore my request to let us know when visitors come, and she keeps insisting I do too much work for company, and then she will continue to tell to not give us notice. My husband does not say a word to his mother about the problem and continues to ignore my complaints and refuses to see how upset I am whenever the in-laws show up unannounced. Mr. Gunger, I foolishly married into a family where freeloading meals, showers, long-distance calls, and laundry soap is their way of life. The lack of common courtesy of a simple email or
wrap
call
it up. The music's
before
ending.
Coming has me fuming. My oldest two 17- and 14-year-old daughters are
Eight
like
seconds.
Their dad. They avoid the place.
Woman, you have no timing. No professional timing.
Wow.
Anyone listening to that music would have found the end
you
of the email
it.
And read the last line just as the music
you
ended.
It.
That
clearly,
is an email fail.
Just an email fail. You get an email fail for that. The music's building. You find the last line. You wrap it up. You make up your own line. You've got to find the musical timing. I'm appalled. Okay, so anyway.
Two oldest 17 and 14-year-old daughters, like their dad, avoid chores like the plague. They and the rest of the children have taken on their father's mentality where mom's expected to do all the shopping, cooking, and cleaning while they go and play. Please, how do you suggest I handle the toxic, mooching in-laws and lazy teenagers?
Well, the teenagers you can deal with, and you train them. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they will go. You talk to them. And here's the thing. Most people make a mistake by training on game day. In other words, you wait until it has to be done right then and there. And if it doesn't, then you scream and holler and you have a fit and it never accomplishes anything. What you do is you talk to them when it doesn't matter. Everybody's calm. Everybody's settled down. You say, okay, come here, guys. I want to talk to you. Wow, come on. I want you. No, turn off the TV. I want you to talk to you. You know, it's not a big con. And then you talk to them. Listen, you can't just be not helping around here. You know what I'm saying? The people wait until it matters. It's like a coach who doesn't coach the team until, you know, they're playing the Vikings, and all of a sudden, oh, you got to tackle. Wait, you need to throw the ball to this guy. That next play, you know, they never practice. That's totally ineffective. You don't coach on game day. You get through game day. Then when it doesn't matter, you parents, listen to me. Then when it doesn't matter, that's when you talk about stuff. So you need to train your children, okay? The fact that you're having problems at teenagers means, quite frankly, not to really bum you out, but you haven't done very good training to this point. At some point, if they're teenagers by now and you're just now dealing with this, you can still deal with it and you can still correct it to some degree. But mom, this is the kind of stuff you fix early on, okay? Now, having said all this, you need to chill out, lady. Just relax. It's like I said the other day. Who do you go after? The person who's upset the most. In this case, she's the one who's upset the most. You married into this family. You married Darth Vader. You married into the Gunger family with a psycho father and a redheaded, stubborn mother and everything else. And, you know, shut up already. You know, you knew going in. It couldn't possibly be this big of a shock.
Can I challenge this?
No, I'm not talking yet. Then you can challenge. But anyway, she needs to change. She needs to change. Come on. There's no way, there's no formula that I, Ross, or you, or anybody could possibly give this woman to fix grandma, grandpa, son, daughter, husband. The way these people are wired, now you're going crazy about it. Now you're freaking out. Honestly, lady, relax. Enjoy your family. You know, most of us laugh at psycho crazy stuff like this. Don't go crazy about it. You change. Relax. Get comfortable with it. Why is it a shock? They come over at the last second. Oh, what a shock. You should be shocked when they don't come over. Get up in the morning thinking, all right, they're going to pop in any second. You need to just change your thinking. It shouldn't be a surprise anymore. Okay, Ross, if every time I came up to you, I slapped you in the face.
Uh-huh.
You'd be surprised by that, wouldn't you? If I came up to you right now and I just slapped you, that'd be kind of shocking.
The first time.
Okay. Second time, third or fourth, fifth time. Okay, but at some point, it's not a surprise anymore.
Sure.
Here he comes. What's he going to do? He's going to slap. Watch. He's going to slap me. Just watch. Watch, watch. And 3 minutes of the conversation, I was like, slap him in the face. See, now at some point.
He's not going to expect this, though. I'm going to slap him back this time.
But the thing is at some point, you can't be telling me after. If she's got teenagers, so she's got to be married at least 13 years to this man and into this family. You're telling me you're still surprised when the family drops over unannounced?
Yeah, that's a little problematic to me.
All right, what did you say?
I challenge this because I have a little bit different perspective of your perspective, because I believe in boundaries. I believe that if my wife is not okay with something maybe that my mother is doing and I feel that it's infringing upon the home and my wife's her space,
this is Ross,
I challenge
this is Ross music.
I challenge it. I come in and I talk to my mom. I say, Mom, this is not acceptable. I don't go over the top and browbeat her, but I do believe in creating an atmosphere for where my wife feels like she's being heard and respected as my wife. This is my family. This is my home. But I think 13 years into it is a little...
19,
where you first started dressing it, that's a little overkill, but I believe in boundaries. I don't think in-laws should just have the right to just do whatever the heck they want.
Do you think she never set the boundaries?
I don't know. My guess is that the husband was just being a heel and not fending for
her home.
She
said, my husband does not say a word to his mother about the problem and continues to ignore my complaints.
But then she never did it. She never addressed the in-laws.
Right. But I don't expect my mom, I mean, my wife, she has a couple times. I don't expect her to like go over the top and constantly plead her case. That's my job, to talk to my
mother. Yeah, but he wouldn't know it.
Then he's a heel.
So then what'd she do?
Well, then she has to do what you're saying. Just shut up and live with it.
Just live with it, lady. I mean,
19 years is pretty.
Yeah, at least you would have talked to your mom and said, you know.
And you can try that, but sometimes it doesn't yield the results
you want. We were popping over
all
the time. Leslie could have said, Dad, Mom, you keep coming. But, some people, they don't listen.
Right.
And what do you do?
Are you one of those I don't listen characters? But you know what I'm saying?
Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Not true. In this case, the future is absolutely predictable.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yes.
She knows what's going to happen. Honestly, 19 years later, you're still going crazy. Because you have kids who are slobs, a husband who doesn't bathe much like his father, parents who pop into the last. You know, do you ever watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you've never seen the show, go to your local
or Netflix DVD and get the series
and watch the season. Watch season one, season two. If you're not on the floor,
it's funny when it's on Everybody Loves Raymond. It's just not so funny when it's your life.
No. What's funny about it is you start seeing yourself and your family. You start to. You know why it's so funny?
Because it's real life.
Because it happens to everybody at some level.
Because Marie is my granny sometimes.
Marie is my
does.
Mother. Are you kidding? I've told that. We said it to our mom. She got really mad at us. She said, Mom, it's you. It is not. She's all mad. You know, it's hilarious. Of course
that's
it's
like
her.
My
grand. Marie, psycho crazy Marie, you know, taking a picture, you know, the family picture. And, you know, she can't get the picture just the way she wants it. She controls it. Man, if that's not my mother to the T.
Yep.
Popping in, doing whatever, everything you don't want her to do with the kids. The fact, lady, what you just described, millions of people deal with this every day.
Yeah.
Most of us laugh about it. Most of us roll. You know what people do? They make shows about it and make millions and millions and millions of dollars, making people all over the world laugh because they all can relate. Seriously, after 19 years, you're still struggling with this? Honestly, what altered universe do you live in?
What woman wouldn't struggle, though? Let's say
19 years.
You get the phone call. Yeah, we're not coming over. All of a sudden, you go back and you're walking around buck naked, and here, guess what? In-laws pop up at the door. That I don't know what woman would get
used to
that.
But the way she's acting is this happens all the time.
Right.
And the mother-in-law said that she will not call, that she will show up, continue to show up unannounced.
So just expect it. I was like, they walk in all the time.
I don't get this man.
What?
It is what it is.
I don't get this man.
Yeah, but so what? It
don't
is
you know
what
the Rolling
is.
Stone song, Ross? You can't always get what you want.
Yeah, well, in my home, I believe that I can. Because it would drive me nuts just to let her.
I'm just saying, if your mom always does something, you know, you can maybe take the edge off it a little bit, but she's still going to kind of do it. If I always do something.
Oh, we know that's
you know,
a given.
You know, I mean, it is what it is. It's my crazy father-in-law. He goes psycho. There's certain circumstances that you know I'm as predictable as the day is long, and you both go, oh, crap, my dad's going, ah, okay, okay. So it is what it is. At some point after, how long you guys been married now?
17 years.
Okay, at some point, it's not
you
a shock anymore. You get it. You've made many adjustments as you can. And you just go at night. I mean, listen to her. How miserable she is.
It is, yeah. The words she used.
Go watch. Everybody loves Aunt Raymond. If this lady needs to go get the series. She's never seen it. She's got to go get the series. She's got to sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
Turn it on and watch it. And identify your in-laws.
It won't be funny to her.
Oh, it has to be.
I hope it would be, but I just can't imagine it would.
That's why my seminar is so funny. You know why my seminar is so funny? Because I describe what everybody's going through.
Right.
And everybody laughs. That's why it's funny. This lady is freaking out about what everybody goes through.
Sure.
To varying degrees. A lazy teenager? That's unusual. Oh my gosh, I've never heard of that. But Diane, have you ever heard of that?
No, never happens in my house.
I don't know what it's talking about. So a teenager who doesn't do what you want to do. Oh my gosh, I am shocked.
Shocking. Never happens in my house.
An in-law who does something that ticks you off. I'm amazed. I've never done that to my son-in-law.
Really?
Never. I've never.
It's been the most peaceful existence I could ever have imagined with having a father.
You have the father-in-law of the year.
I've never done anything that frustrates my daughter. That's never happened. I don't know what she's talking about. Yeah, let me give you an example of why you need to relax and just let it go. It's almost like someone's writing an email to us and say, you know, every morning I get up quietly before dark, and I'm in this peaceful state meditating and praying, and all of a sudden this really bright light comes just screaming into the room, and it ruins my groove. What is it? Oh, it's the sun.
Predictable.
And you know what? It happens every morning. Every morning, that's what I put up. Curtain, and it just makes me so mad. I mean, really, lady? The sun comes up. Yes. Just when you're enjoying the darkness and the quiet, the sun's going to come up. The birds are going to start screaming and hollering. It's going to break your groove. Okay? Honestly, just have fun with it. Good grief. So I can say that my parents don't listen to the show. My dad's not alive anymore. My mom doesn't listen to the show. But they're both nuts.
Yep.
I love them. You knew them.
Oh, absolutely.
They're crazy, these two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And their behavior at times was so frustrating. You'd want to pull your hair and scream. But we would laugh about it because it's so predictable. It wasn't like, gee, this happened out of nowhere. I mean, they were just, and I'm sure I'm as irritating at some level to my son-in-law and daughter. And I'm sure they will pass on some joyous experiences onto their children. You know, it's what we do. It's just, honestly, relax. Like, just relax.
You're right. You know, I'm just saying,
relax.
I believe in
you got in-laws who pop in all the time.
Yeah.
So it. And she's saying, oh, it's all my own fault because I didn't
made
date a lot
of,
and I made the mistake. You didn't make a mistake, you silly girl.
Yeah.
You're making a mistake by acting this way. You didn't make a mistake. You love the boy.
This mistake
he loved
has
you.
Yielded you teenagers.
He asked you to marry. He gave you some wonderful children.
Yes.
He gave you some obnoxious in-laws. This is life for you. Laugh. Enjoy. Have fun. Oh, my gosh.
Not going to have 72 years of bliss with a mindset
like
that.
She's going to die in another year or two. She keeps living this way. That's the good news. She'll be dead because her heart will give out at some point because she can't relax. Just enjoy life. Have a nice time. Whoops. It is what it is.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I
be? Will I have obnoxious in-laws? Will I have a son who's a lazy slob? Que sera, sera. He doesn't ever take a bath. Whatever will be. My husband doesn't help out. The future's not ours. What can I do, Pastor? I don't know. Que sera, sera.
I feel like I'm sitting at Olive Garden.
What?
I feel like I sit him at Olive Garden with the music.
You know, the miracle of faith, people, is not that the storm always calms. It's that you can be calm in the midst of the storm. If you haven't learned to be calm in the midst of the storm, you will always be a victim.
Yeah.
Okay? When your life sucks, can you be calm? When everything's going wrong, can you be calm? When you've got relatives in your house going crazy and calling the police, threatening to blow up the neighborhood, can you stay calm? When you have a wife who's sick and everything's going wrong and she's doing chemo and nothing's working and your whole schedule is upside down and nothing works, can you stay calm? Yes, yes. I'm not writing anybody saying, oh, my wife's sick, I got a brother's going crazy. You know, that's exactly how a lot of people would react. Mm-hmm. Oh, my job says that I had to cancel some events. It's going to cost us all kinds of money. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Who wants to live like that? There's a million things in my life right now that suck. It's hard to walk around and hear conversations because I hear this huge sucking sound over my head. The list of things going wrong in my life right now are very, very long. Do you hear me crying?
No.
Do you hear me? Oh, it's just horrible. No. I don't know. I made a mistake. I married a redhead who got cancer. You know, and I got this, and you know. And she's so stubborn, this woman. She is stubborn.
Yes.
God bless
her
heart.
I spent a lot of time with her. And
even when she's sick, and you know you should be able to, she's still stubborn. She still won't take the medicine that she should take. And it you know. Do I cry? Do I call up people? My life's just horrible. No, I go out on the show every day and talk to you people. It is what it is. Just relax. The miracle is not that I don't have a storm in my life. The miracle is that in the midst of my roaring storm and the winds screaming and everything going crazy and who knows what's going to happen in the next minute, is I'm still sleeping in the boat.
There's peace to be had.
There's peace to be had. Lady, just enjoy peace in the midst of your storm. You know, if I had this lady's life, she's miserable.
Oh, she is.
If I had this lady's life, I'd make $1 million writing a book about
how funny it is.
I bet you there's a million hilarious in there.
Probably.
The fact that the mother-in-law yells at the father-in-law, don't empty that bathtub, I'm going to get... do you know how funny this is?
Ray Romano made the show off of his real
life.
That
would be a hilarious reality
show. See, Romano made
millions.
Yes. I make a lot of money running all over the country telling my insane, crazy life for people and sharing it and laughing and enjoying life. And then you got people like this who their lives are miserable.
It'd be like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Yeah,
that's what I would do.
Yes.
But instead of becoming the next Irma Bombeck
she
becomes suicidal instead of enjoying her life. You've got wonderful children. You got a husband who loves you. You got in-laws who they must like you at some point. They want to come see you and they're obnoxious. Man, you should be writing this stuff down. At some point, you're going to have one of the funniest stories.
This is almost an email you don't want your kids to hear.
How's that?
Well, just because, I mean, made the mistake of marrying into this. I would hate to hear a statement like that after 19 years of marriage as a teenager. I would hate to hear
something
like
that. Oh, can you imagine
like
hearing? Oh, yeah. No.
So make sure
this would be
your
devastating
kids
to her family. If her kids heard that I made a mistake marrying your father, which means you're a mistake, which means my in-laws are a mistake. Sweetheart.
That's not good.
You are criticizing your life.
Yeah.
Those children exist because of those in-laws that gave birth to your husband who fell in love with you.
And
you hate
children.
The very thing that has blessed your life at some point. So they stink. So what?
Get some Febreze. Spray them before they leave the house.
Spray them down when they walk in the door, you know? So that, you know, at least your water bill's not high because they're all taking the same bath water, you know? Who even takes baths anymore?
I do from time to time. Sometimes
not to get clean if I'm just soaking.
Just to chill out.
Yes. Yeah,
just
but not
like
to get
a hot
clean.
Tub for that, you know? But, you know, so they stink. So they walk into the last minute. You've got to have, she has to have 100 hilarious stories.
I'd imagine.
It would be.
If she would change her perspective and allow herself
to
see them
see
as
the
to being funny.
You have to see the funny.
See, I hope you guys are listening to this, listening to the show. A lot of you go through life, and what some of us turn into great moments of joy and celebration and hilarity, you turn into hell. Yep. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. No, you got time, I'll tell you all about mine. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm so transparent with people. I always tell them the crap I'm going through.
Yep.
And people come up to me all the time and say, man, you have no idea how much you just helped me.
Yeah.
Telling me how awful you're that when you got up and confessed that you lost it in a terminal with a gate agent and you had to repent later. You know, should I have done that? No, I shouldn't have done it. Was it a weakness on my part? Yes. Did I fail? Yeah. Did I have to repent? Yeah. I told everybody. I told the whole world. I told my church. Yeah. And somebody goes, you know, okay, I get that because I did that the other day in Walmart and I shouldn't have done it. And okay, you know, just relax. Some of y'all, I'm telling you, they insist on being miserable. They just want to be miserable.
Repent first.
Well, here's her thing. She could be in a different situation. Something else would make her miserable.
Yeah.
She has been blessed.
Yes, she has.
I would argue that the very thing she looks as curses
are
her greatest blessings.
Yeah.
You have to look at it that
way. A husband who loves her.
Yeah.
When maybe nobody else wanted you. Sweetie, you ever think of that?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I made a mistake.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
know. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nobody else in Canada wanted an Oriental chick. You know, how do you know? Here's a guy who did. He wanted you. He loved you. You could be single right now, crying your eyes out because you're 40-some years old and nobody ever dated you and you dated some guys but no one ever wanted to marry you. And Pastor, what can I do to get married? That's somebody else's scenario right now listening to the show.
Exactly.
And they're miserable. Yeah. Everybody's miserable. Everybody's sad. Everybody boo-hoo. How about, look, I appreciate writing the show. That's what this show's for, to help you through stuff. But we can't fix, nobody can fix all this.
I said it yesterday, you choose your life. It is not inflicted upon you. You choose what you get upset about. You choose what you roll with. You choose what you laugh at. You choose what you cry at. You choose the life you have.
I know, it's not
inflicted upon you.
But look at her. Her problem is her father-in-law, her mother-in-law, her children, and her husband. Well, at some point, the problem is you. You can't possibly fix all those things. You know, for a while I was getting her on the parenting, you know. Maybe she did a great job with parenting. Sometimes kids are just kids.
Yeah, that's true.
And you can train them the best you can, and it's still a nightmare. Just relax. Enjoy life. Look at your lemon today and make lemonade. Do something. You get stuck in a caca, jump down and make a caca angel.
Oh my gosh.
You snow angels?
Yeah, it's the caca
angel. You fall in the snow. I did a sermon like that, wasn't
it? Yes, you did.
I was on the stage. I was on the floor on the stage.
Making
waving
angels.
My arms and legs back and forth. I'm in caca. What am I doing? I'm making a caca angel.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com. You enjoy enhancing your environment with the fragrant scent of candles? Try Scentsy Candles. Scentsy wickless candles are flame-free, smoke-free, and lead-free. Scentsy wickless candles are stronger, longer-lasting, and most important, safer for you, your family, and pets. The exclusive Scentsy Wax Bar is melted on one of our decorative warmers by a low-watt light bulb, releasing our powerful and long-lasting fragrance into your home, office, or dorm room. With over 40 decorative candle warmers, 20 plugins, and 80 different scents to buy, we have something for everyone. Shop online at www.thekellers.scentsy.ca. That's www.thekellers.scentsy.ca. thekellers.scentsy.ca and have products shipped to your door today.
I'm caught up in this moment, I'm caught up in your smile.
I've never opened up to anyone, so hard to hold back when I'm holding you in my arms.
But we don't need to rush this, let's just take it slow.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, talking about dealing with life and relaxing. Man, nobody gets perfect, people. Nobody gets perfect. One of the things that make life so interesting is going through the trials and tribulations. You know, James said, count it all joy. Listen to what he wrote. When your life sucks, when everything's going wrong, the Bible says, count it pure joy. You go, well, how's that possible? Apparently, it's possible. You can look at your worst case scenario, and it's something, you know, of course, nobody wants it, and you're trusting God not to do it, and you try everything you can to avoid it. But at some point, you have to switch over to counting it pure joy. Nobody wants to get sick. Nobody wants their wife to go through breast cancer. Nobody wants to go through chemo and go all the. Nobody wants that. But at some point, when it looks like, because you know, Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that this cup will pass from me. I don't think he was making that up. I don't think he wanted to do it. Why would he pray that way? There's no that makes no sense. Jesus did not really want to suffer and die the way he did.
That's right.
And he prayed, and then at some point you realize, but not my will, and he drank that cup. You know, sometimes you have to drink the cup of suffering. I mean, the reality is now, you know, of course, they got some theological problems with the whole sick. I think we can suffer. I don't think we have to necessarily put it with sickness. I think it's just an aberration. We should be able to stand in faith. But we're still struggling through it. We're still trusting God in the midst of it. But at some point, you have to. Christians suffer. I know there's a whole line of things. Christians never suffer. What is absurd? When everything's going wrong, James says, count it all joy. At some point, you've got to find the joy in the midst of your misery. Even in those of you who have kids that are driving you crazy and a spouse that's driving you crazy and in-laws that are driving you up the wall, and we can give you advice and other people can give you advice and all that's fine, but at some point, you have to just count it all joy. Find the joy in the midst of your circumstance, which is what the whole thing with marriage. I mean, marriage isn't about, gee, I'm going to, you know, everything's going to go great. I mean, sometimes everything goes wrong. Diane, do you know what I'm talking about?
Sometimes the timing isn't just right.
I have
right.
No idea what you're talking about.
You have no idea. Sometimes just everything you thought and planned does not happen. And
that's
your
right.
life it, takes a dramatic change.
Sometimes it sucks.
And it's hard. And it's rough. But then you got to go, you know what? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And you might cry. We all cry. We have emotional releases. But at some point, you got to swing over to, you know, I'm going to find the joy in this situation. And we have to dance through the minefields. All of a lead up to this song. I think it's a cool. Have you heard the song?
I think they're playing. We can dance if we want to. We can dance all.
Listen to the lyrics of the song. It's a great song. It's about a guy singing about how their marriage is dancing through minefields.
I was 19, you were 21. The year we got engaged. And everyone said we were much too young. But we did it anyway. We got the ring. For 40 each from a pawn shop down the road.
That's what my wife and I did.
We said
the rings were like $40
a piece.
He says 19 and 20 in the song. They got married young.
And we went dancing in the minefields.
See, that's marriage, man.
We went sailing in the storm.
Sailing in the storm.
And it was harder than we dreamed, but I believe that's what the promise is for.
Andrew Peterson. What a great lyric, huh?
Well, I do are the two most famous last words, the beginning of the end. But to lose your life for another, I've heard, is a good place to begin. 'Cause the only way to find your life is to lay your own life down. It's harder than we dream, but I believe that's what the promise is for.
What a great lyric. What do we do? We're going to go be happy forever and after. No. We're going to go dancing in the minefield. You know what it means? Sometimes you step on a minefield and you blow a leg off.
Find me when I lose love's chains. Bind me at the end of all my faith, to the end of all my days when I forget my name. The Son of Man, so there's nothing left to fear. So I'll walk with you in the shadowlands till the shadows disappear. 'Cause he promised not to leave us, and his promises are true. So in the face of all this chaos, maybe I can dance with you. So let's go dancing in the
I mean, who goes sailing in a storm? Jacket. Nobody goes sailing in a storm. You go hike.
Right. You cancel the trip.
That's what you do. When the storm comes up, I got a boat. When the storm's going up, man, I'm trying to pull in the dock. I want calm. I don't want... This lyric says, we're intentionally... Let's go sailing in the storm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. Life is hard. People. It's hard. You know, I sometimes think people think we're being mean and stuff like that. But we're speaking from personal experience. Diane over here has been kind of teary-eyed. And, you know, I mean, life is hard. Her husband's sick. He has MS. There's, you know, things, you know, my wife's sick. She's going through cancer, you know. I got family times nuttier than fruitcake. You know, I got a mom who's struggling with her health just down the road in the care facility. My dad just died last year. I mean, there's a million, you know, and all the stuff, economy, holding a church together when people are losing jobs and there's less money, but the mortgage stays the same and the electrical bills go higher. And, you know, and at some point you just choose to have joy in the midst of misery. Count it all joy. And he goes on to say, James says, count it all joy. Why? Because let patience have its perfect work. What does that mean? That means you can't change anything. Patience means what? Just wait. Just wait. Well, Pastor, I don't want this. I know. I don't want it either. Well, what do I do? Let patience have its perfect work. Just, you know, and a lot of people, that's what I do. I preached this a couple of weeks ago. Man, I was in tears in the pulpit.
Yep.
You know, because, you know, laughing. I'm laughing and crying at the same time because my life's a complete zoo of insanity. People were laughing, and then, you know, just because emotionally at some point you just, you know, tears start coming down your cheek and you just go, so, well, Pastor, what are you doing? What are you doing? Somebody, you don't do anything.
See,
I don't try to do anything.
Yep. Stay the course.
You stay the course and you let patience have its perfect work. Read it, folks. James, the first chapter, I think it's verses 2 and 3. When you're going through all kinds of troubles, count it pure joy and just let patience have its perfect work. Sometimes, some of you right now are so frustrated and you're so desperate and you're flailing. You know what happens when, if you're drowning and someone comes to save you, if you keep flailing,
it makes it worse.
You'll both die.
Yeah.
In fact, they know that if they're flailing, don't try and save them. Get away from them. They'll kill you. At some point, you have to quit flailing and let someone grab you and pull you to safety. It's terrifying because you have no control. Now, first of all, you're trying for air in the first place, but you've got to relax. Sometimes, you know, God is trying to pull us to safety, and he can't grab a hold of us because we're flailing and kicking and screaming and splashing. At some point, your best option. Just don't do anything. Some of you who are struggling the most right now, listen to the show, your life is horrible. You know, your marriage is terrible. Your kids are demon-possessed or whatever. I mean, you got in-laws coming over every 5 seconds. Like the poor lady who wrote in this email. At some point, just don't try to change anything. How about you just do nothing? Be patient.
Dance in the minefield.
Go dancing in the minefields.
Sail into the storm.
Go sail into the storm. You know, and that's life. I would love to tell you that, gee, if you just believe in Jesus, you'll never have a problem. Explain that to some of the guys in the Bible. You know, and we all love faith, and we all talk about faith. I teach on faith. I was reading in Hebrews, you know, the other day at the congregation, that whole faith chapter in Hebrews. By faith, some guys quenched the fire, and others shut the mouths of lions, and they conquered the enemies, and by faith they received their death, their dead back to life. But they quit reading. Because if you keep reading, he says, and by faith, some of them were sawed in half.
Sawed in half, yes.
What? Sawed in half? By faith, sawed in half. And by faith, they were persecuted and destitute, and they went about in the world, hated them, and everything in their life was absolutely miserable, and they did it by faith. In fact, if you read that section, go, you know, I'm throwing a lot of Bible verses out today, but in Hebrews 11, read that chapter and watch that list of the description of faith. Actually, I'll just pull it up.
Hebrews is proof that Jesus loves coffee.
Why?
Because he brews.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Brews. You've never heard that before?
No.
Jehovah Java?
Yes. Oh, good heavens.
My mansion's going to have a Starbucks in it.
Okay, so check it out. What more can I say here? Verse 32, Hebrews 11th chapter. I don't have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who, verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received their dead raised back to life again. And then, you know, we're going, yes, this is fabulous. This is what we preach. You turn on TBN right now, that's what you'll hear. But they stop. That's halfway through the... You notice it's the halfway point in the paragraph.
Yeah.
It's the halfway point. Now let's read the rest.
They don't read the rest, though.
They don't read the rest. Here's the rest. There were others who were tortured. What?
Right.
Some faced jeers and flogging. What? Even chains and imprisonment. Wait a minute. I want faith. This is faith. They were put to death by stoning. Oh, ooh, icky caca. They were sawed in two.
This wasn't a magic trick, by the way.
I got to tell you, if I get to choose shutting the mouth of the lion or getting sawn in two, I'm choosing
the former.
The former. I want to shut the mouth of the lion.
Yeah.
Okay? But we don't teach the whole Bible. Read for verse 32, for verse 38. This is a paragraph in the Bible. I guarantee you, 99% of all the preachers you'll hear will talk about the first half of this paragraph.
Sure, they will.
They won't tell you the second half. That's why some of you, when we get in trouble, we get all freaked out. We think something's terribly wrong. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went in about sheepskins and goatskins, talking about how miserable they were, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, lived in caves and holes in the ground. Pastor, what am I going to do? We might lose our house. Well, so what? Then you have to live in a hole in the ground. Well, I'll be, I told my church the other day, so what? So I'll wind up living in a van down by the river. We'll start our whole village down there. Celebration Village, a bunch of vans down by the river. Old school buses.
I still want a couple like city blocks of underground away from you so you just don't show up randomly.
Not only
are you stuck in a stupid van down by the river, your in-laws keep coming over knocking on the door of the van. They don't even knock the door. They walk in. And verse 39 says, these were all who? The ones who shut the mouths of lions, the ones who went the fury of the flame, those who conquered enemies, received their dead back to life, and those who were persecuted, cut in half, stoned to death, miserable, living in a hole in a van, and parked in a van down by the river. Yeah. These were all commended for their what?
Faith.
This is what the Bible celebrates is faith. This idea that faith only means you get the first half of the paragraph is not true. People, we got to read the, and I'm telling you, people don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They read about the Bible. They hear about the Bible. They read about other people reading about the Bible. They read books about people who quote parts of the Bible,
yeah,
but they don't actually read the Bible.
Smorgasbord.
There's not very many people who have read this whole chapter.
I like this. I don't like that. Ooh, I like this. I'll
have some of that. What they've read are the books who talk about faith and about shutting the mouth of the lion and putting out the fiery flames and get their weakness turned to strength. We all want that, right? I want weakness turned to strength. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But we don't hear the rest
of the story.
And we think, oh, well, you know, I'm being stoned and I'm living in a van down by the river and I'm just wearing sheepskins and goatskins. I want Ross to take me shopping, but we don't have any money. We can't go shopping with Ross because all I can afford is a goatskin.
I'll help you pick out the finest goatskin, though.
Ross will help you get the best goatskin. Here's the thing. If we're all wearing goatskins, Ross will be the coolest goatskin.
Absolutely.
He'll have the best looking goatskin.
It'll be the best goatskin that you got. See, you make lemonade out of lemons. We're wandering. We're wandering. I don't know where I'm going, Pastor. I don't. You mean like wandering in the deserts and mountains? Well, but Pastor, nobody likes it. Oh, you mean being persecuted and mistreated? Well, yeah. I want faith. Well, that is faith.
You really?
I mean, that's faith. You said all of these people were commended for their faith. The people who had great victories and the people who had their lives sucked beyond belief. Getting sawed in half. Good grief. Who's he talking about, by the way?
Getting sawed in half?
Who is that? I don't remember anybody in the Old Testament who was sawed in half.
Is it one of the, you know, they have the listing of how all of the apostles died, how they were martyred. Was one of them sawed in half?
I don't know. He's referring to the Old Testament here.
Oh, I don't know.
Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David. He's basically referring to Samuel and the prophets who through
who
faith, and they went through
half.
This whole,
I don't remember that either.
You know, I don't know. Who knows? Like, I've memorized the whole Old Testament. But anyway, it's sawed in half. Killed with a sword, put to death by stoning. Ow! 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 They're throwing rocks at me! And it's my in-laws!
Yeah.
Ow! And here's the thing. What people are complaining about right now in their lives, most of it doesn't come close to this.
Isaiah.
No. Isaiah was sawn in half?
Well, according to this, they believe that the Israelites.
Well, so that must have been Jewish tradition. That's what was passed on. Mm-hmm. It's like Peter being, we say Peter was crucified upside down.
It's
you don't
not
find
in
that
the
in the Bible, but that was what was mm-hmm. handed down.
So Isaiah was sawed in two.
Ew! Ew! Don't saw me in half.
I could be corrected on that, but that's what I just.
If you're going to kill me, man, just shoot me quick. Boom! Ugh. I'm gone. Sawed in half. Oh, ew.
If you're alive and that's conscious, gotta, that's got to
King Manasseh
suck.
By sawing Isaiah in half? Was
really?
That right?
Maybe.
King Manasseh saying he's not a very nice man.
What a turd he was. Mm-hmm. But those of you right now, you're. And stop and think about this. You know, we got people who are giving up on their faith today. People giving up on their faith. And I know of a lady right now today who was part of our church who knows giving up on her faith because her husband wasn't giving her enough attention. You narcissistic snot.
Was he a born-again believer during this time, or was?
They're both claiming born. You know who they are. If I told you, you'd be mortified right now.
So she's leaving
their faith.
The faith.
That's what she says.
Not just him.
Yes.
Walking away from the marriage and in turn having to walk away from her faith because of
saying that I'm not going to believe in Jesus anymore because you don't treat me right.
Boy, that's a pretty bold stance. Talk about eternal ramifications there.
Seriously?
Come talk to me.
Now, these are people who were tortured. Were flogged, thrown in chains, imprisonments, wore goat skins, had rocks thrown at them, were sawed in half, lived in a van down by the river. And you're telling me you're giving up on your faith because your husband doesn't treat you right. Honestly, there is going to be some serious hell to pay someday, I'm telling you. On Judgment Day, there are people, they are in for a shocker. Look, I'm not saying that we are insensitive to your suffering. We all suffer at various times. And we'll try to give you the best advice in relationships how to have a successful relationship. But at some point, you can't point at everybody in your life and say your life is in hell. My in-laws do this, and my kids do that, and my husband does this, and I made a mistake. And it's okay if you did. Shut up. And again, how cruel is that to say you made a mistake? You're saying that your children shouldn't exist. I know that's not what she's saying, but that's at some level, that's what she's saying.
You know, she's not thinking it through. She's just not thinking it through.
I mean, don't say something like, "Man, I would have been mortified if I would have heard my mother say, I made a mistake marrying your father."
Oh, absolutely.
I don't even say that to my own kids, and I divorced their dad. And I don't
heard.
I mean, I feel terrible that we ended up divorced, but I don't say because they are such great blessings in my life. I would never say it was a mistake because I have them.
I've heard parents say this in front of their teenagers, saying that what they have done, you know, whether it's ended up in divorce or the dad's just potentially a deadbeat dad, there's, I made a mistake, but they still don't understand the depth of
Do you
the,
realize what you're saying? And yeah. and I'm not really picking on this lady. Ma'am, all you did was inspire my rant to deal with lots of people.
This is
not all directed at you. You know, hopefully you're not depressed somewhere crying your eyes out. So this isn't about you. Actually, your whole life isn't about you, which is part of your problem.
Mm-hmm.
But this is life. People deal with crap. Their lives hurt. They're in pain. They're suffering. They're struggling. We as people of faith, if we get it, learn how to walk in calm in the midst of the storm. We learn to count it all joy. He didn't say, when you're filled with the Spirit, count it all joy. When God's answering all your prayers, count it all joy.
Yeah.
When everything's going well and your neighbors all suck, but you're, you know, this had a big hailstorm and everything around you got destroyed, but not your house, count it all joy. That's not what he said.
Right.
Is when everything sucks to high heaven. Count it all joy. What I do, Pastor? What I do, Pastor? What? Nothing. Don't do anything. Just relax. Let patience have its perfect work. The reason I'm able to keep peace through all the stuff that's going in my life right now is I'm not trying to change anything.
Yeah.
God is in the suck.
I just think that people, that's why they stress out. They're in a situation like, well, I'm going through with my family, my wife, and all this stuff, and you know, you know, how often the grandkids are over every other day. We love that, you know, and now she can't hardly see them at all because they're just runny noses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We can sit down and just cry and everything's horrible. About it. You know, life is rough. I don't know. While everybody else, I know people who'd be going through my circumstances right now who would just be climbing a wall and going crazy. And I'm not. Why? Because they're trying desperately to change everything. They're trying to, you know, at some point, you can't change anything.
Yeah.
You throw it into God's hands. You trust God. You pray. You're standing in faith. And what do? Nothing. I'm just writing it out. It's like when I'm flying my airplane, I get in turbulence. I hate it. I don't mind clear air turbulence. It's when I'm in the clouds and the rain is just creeps out, willies out of me. What do? You know what they tell you to do? If you're having a hard time navigating and everything else and you're losing altitude and it's going up and down because you're caught in thermals and you plunged into a cloud that's now turning into a thunderstorm. Keep the wings level. That's all they tell you to do. Just keep the wings level. You'll struggle to keep it level. But at this point, forget about navigating. At this point, forget about your altitude. At this point, don't try. Just keep the wings level. Because you're still cruising along. At some point, you'll come out the other side. And next time, okay, that's why I have an airplane with a radar and everything, so I avoid that.
You're not guaranteed radar, though, in life.
No, you're not. Sometimes you don't have the radar. Sometimes your radar quits working. And also, you're caught into something, and it's scaring the willies out of you. Fear is grieving in your heart. Sweat is pouring off your forehead. You're grabbing onto the steering wheel, thinking, why did I ever decide to fly an airplane?
You're looking for the parachute to bail.
What do they tell you to do? Just keep the wings level. I'm losing altitude. Just keep the wings level. It's when these guys overcompensate and they overpush and they're putting so many major corrections into the inputs of the that they'll go into a spin or a stall and they
isn't
crash.
That what happened to the Kennedy guy?
Well,
when
nobody
he
knows
crashed.
What he did, but I'm sure that's what he did.
Freaked out.
I'm sure he freaked. I gotta fix this. I gotta fix this. Oh no! I gotta do that. He's over. Just keep the wings level. Well, I can't see what. Just keep the wings level. Make the adjustments. But they're pushing and they're pulling as hard as they can and they're trying to fix it. They're calling their pastor right now. I got to fix the wings. The wings are coming in turbulence right now. What am I going to do? And I'm 2,000 feet high. Now I'm 2,000 feet low. What do I do? I got to fix it. Just quit freaking out. What should I do, Pastor? Number one, count it pure joy. I can't do that. Sure, you can. Well, how do I fix it? What do I do? Don't do anything. Let patience have its perfect work. And some of you certainly don't you dare go to bed today without reading that. You open up James, the first chapter, and I think it's verses 2 and 3. Just read it and read it again and read it and read it again and read it until it gets into you. God is not dead. He hasn't forgotten about you. He'll show up. When? I don't know. Worst case scenario, you're sawed in half. Which really sucks.
That does stink. Good Lord.
You know? But then you go to heaven. I mean, what's the worst that can happen to us people? We die and go to be with Jesus. Oh, how terrible is that? Heaven for eternity. Oh, icky caca. Anyway. Wow.
You almost made it to the end with that rant.
5 minutes ago, 4 minutes ago, whatever.
Two minutes ago.
Minute and a half.
You okay over there?
I'm fine.
That was rough.
Sure it is.
It is, yeah.
But life's rough.
It is rough.
It's not easy.
What should we do?
What should we do? Stay the course.
Keeping my wings up.
Keeping the wings balanced.
Keep
the wings level. It'll be okay. This too shall pass. Just keep me away from anyone with a saw.
Or stones. I'm not digging the whole stone thing. I saw how they've done this to people. They bury you up to your shoulders so your head's just out of the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And they hurl. Sometimes they cover your head.
Yeah, but the first one, if it
don't.
Hits in the right spot,
but
you're done.
What is a slow way to die?
It's not always the case, though.
Think of the pain you're going through before someone gets the final blow that knocks you out. Kills you.
I want, like, all the major league pitchers hurling stones. I don't want
the
community
first one kills
or my
you.
Family because it's going to be a slow, painful
95-year-old
death.
Coming over dropping a rock on your head just enough to cause pain.
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Wow. This too shall pass. All these were commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. I'm quoting from the Bible. Verse 40, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Hallelujah. There it is, Hebrews 11th chapter. That's where it starts out. It says by verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So how long does it take, Pastor? I don't know. Be patient. Relax. Keep the wings level. Don't try and fix everything. Find the joy in every possible version of this as you can. And just wait. All right, guys. See ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.